and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY24 Earnings Conference Call of Kiri Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Kiri Industries Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and financial year ending 2024. Before we begin, I would like to mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. I would like to now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's conference call. We have with us Mr. Manish Kiri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Jayesh Hirani, Senior Manager, Accounts and Finance, and Mr. Suresh Kundalia, Company Secretary. I would now request Mr. Manish Kiri to give his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and financial year 2024. Let me first brief you on the financial performance of the fourth quarter and financial year 2024, followed by the operational highlights. On a standalone basis, in the fourth quarter of financial year 2024, the revenue from the operations grew by 27% on year-on-year basis to 200 crores. The EBITDA loss reduced by 29% year-on-year to 11 crores, and EBITDA loss reduced by 50% on quarter-on-quarter basis. The net loss for the quarter was 29 crores. This loss also includes the legal costs incurred during the quarter. For the financial year ending 2024, the standalone revenue from the operations were 633 crore, which grew by approximately 5% on year-on-year basis, and the EBITDA loss was 63 crores against EBITDA loss of 109 crores in the last financial year. Net loss was reported at 94 crore versus a net loss of 134 crores in the previous financial year. On a consolidated basis, the revenue from operations for the fourth quarter stood at 269 crores, which grew by about 21% year-on-year basis, with an EBITDA profit of around 5 crore as compared to the EBITDA loss of 5 crore in the corresponding quarter of the financial year. And EBITDA loss was 11 crore on quarter 3, 2024. Net loss for the quarter before share of profit of associates was about 16 crore against 29 crore in quarter 3 FY 2024. The revenue and EBITDA of Longsheng Kiri for quarter 4 2024 for 40% stake of Kiri included in this financials amounted to 88 crore and 18 crore respectively, which were 64 crores and 11 crores for quarter 4 2023. During quarter 4, 2024, company was able to restrict EBITDA deficit as compared to previous three quarters, mainly on account of better material margins in commodities market. Hopefully, the material margins continue to strengthen in coming quarters, and demand in international market picks up, and also manufacturers are able to sell their products at better prices, enabling manufacturers to earn profits. For the financial year ending 2024, on a consolidated basis, the revenue from operations was 949 crore. The EBITDA loss was 12 crore against a bitter loss of 39 crore in the last financial year. Net loss was 88 crore versus net loss of 105 crore in the last financial year. In consolidated statement, the share of profit of associates include 221 crore of share of profit of Dystar, which does not have any impact on the valuation of the stake of Kiri in Dystar. With regards to the Dystar case, Kiri has recently received a significant judgment on May 20, 2024 from Singapore International Commercial Court regarding legal proceedings related to the enforcement of a buyout order issued earlier by SICC. According to the order, Kiri is entitled to receive 603.8 million as a priority from the M block sale of entire shareholding of Dystar. The remaining balance from the proceeds of sale of Dystar will go to Senda. Moreover, the court has ruled that M block sale of Dystar will proceed without any reserve price. And the long stop date is set for December 31st, 2025. This judgment makes a significant milestone for Kiri to secure 603.8 million after a long journey of litigation against its joint venture partner. Signaling that the end of the tunnel is finally in sight. With that, I would now like to open the floor for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Mehendale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Manish Bhai, first of all, congrats on getting a positive verdict. You know, it's been a long battle and great to see your firm timeline now. So from now for next 18 months, how do we see the process playing out? And do we expect money in the bank by December next year, December 25?
I think, yes, we can expect before that, actually, because the way the sell process is planned by the receiver, which is Deloitte, they have already started working on preparing the information memorandum and required materials, due diligences, vendor due diligences. So all that process has been going on since their appointment, since February 2024. Now, we are expecting somewhere around July, August, the bidding and the auction should start. And as per the timeline thereafter, the indication is that the sell process should get concluded by around June 2025. But to have 6 months of cushion, to have an extra buffer period, I think court has sensibly decided to have, based on the recommendation from the receiver, December 2025, but as management, we are expecting the sell process to get concluded well before that, and the money should be coming to an account before that, yes.
Great, thanks. And what will be the capital gains or tax impact on that?
Based on the advice we have, as we would not be taking into account the indexing, we'll be paying 10% capital gain tax.
Okay, great. And finally, how do we plan to deploy the funds?
Yes, so I think that is still under the process reviewed by the Kiri's board. But as I earlier broadly mentioned, there would be new exciting projects which you will see in the sectors other than dyes and intermediates, which we are still contemplating. You will also see, some benefits to the shareholders. And you will also see that we might reserve some funds for the future investment. So it would be a mix of, the use which would be prudent for the shareholders, actually.
Okay, so any, broad idea on what, in percentage terms, what can be returned to shareholders and what can be reinvested and what can be kept for future? Any broad, will it be one-third each or...
No, I think majority of the funds would be used because Kiri could not grow for more than 10 years due to this litigation. And if you look at our growth was almost standstill. So you can say that Kiri could not have ability to grow because of the litigation and the shareholders dispute. So majority of the funds would be used for the future growth and for the projects and also, you know, number of initiatives which the management has been taking. So majority of the funds would be utilized for the future, for the growth, and for taking Kiri to the new level. So we will be working on that.
Great. And any indicative, you know, internal IRR, that hurdle IRR that may use for CapEx?
We have, you know, minimum IRR that we are looking at is 25 for the new project for the CapEx. But our target is to have more than 30% IRR on any new projects.
Great. Thanks a lot. That's it from mine.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. When I look at our promoter shareholding, it has decreased from 38% to 26% right now over the past two, three years. And so we are telling that that we are on the verge. So, like, the court has made judgment in our favor. So why is that? And because investor confidence declines due to these kind of actions. So if you could help me understand that.
Well, I have already indicated in earlier conference calls, and I will repeat that here also, that promoters are highly inclined to increase their stake, and it all depends on the arrangements that the promoters are able to do to increase the stake. The intention is very positive, and we have been working on for quite a long more than a year. And hopefully we should be able to do it in the near future and address your question that the promoters' shareholding highly keenly interested to increase.
Okay. Sir, my next question would be, sir, what will be our outlook for FY25 in terms of top line and bottom line for our standalone business as well as our subsidiary business? If you could help me give
you
some guidance on that. Yeah.
Sure. If our internal budget for 2024-25, because we look at the business as India operations on more of a consolidated basis, because if you look at the sale of intermediates from Kiri to Longsheng Kiri and then finished products go from Longsheng Kiri to out, a lot of finished products go from Kiri dyes units to out. So when you put the dyes business together, and also intermediate business together, the sensible analysis can be derived from the consolidated number of India operations, not Dystar, not accounting for Dystar, but considering the additional profit that we make on selling the dyes. So if you look at the consolidated number for this year, we could generate around 3% positive or better. And we expect that we would cross at least 1,200 crore in 2024-22, and we would try to have consolidated a beta of not 3%, at least between 5 to 10%. And looking at the improvements in the industry, looking at the revival on the demand, hopefully we should be able to make this target.
Okay, so that's encouraging. Do we have some projects in
mind? I request you to come back for a follow-up question.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavesh Chauhan from Aditya Birla Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I want to understand if going forward, will we incur any litigation expenses because now case is over?
Yes, I think we would continue to incur the litigation expenses till the funds come to our account. And what has been happening now is we have been actively engaged through our lawyers with the receiver. So receiver is trying to sell the company, and wherever the involvement of shareholders, Kiri, Senda, Dystar as a company, we need to be continuously involved and helping them in the process. And the entire process is conducted through the Kiri's councils. Similarly, every party's councils has been represented with the council of the receiver. So, for example, receiver's council is a Wong partner, and there is continuous communication which has been happening with Wong partners. Now, and also court has been asking submissions wherever necessary to decide on certain matters while the sale process is continuing. So the engagement of counsel is continuing. The legal cost is incurring. We would not have probably the hearings, so per se, but some legal cost would continue to incur. It would be lesser than the earlier ones, but it would continue to incur some legal cost till the money comes to our account.
That's encouraging. And sir, with regards to this sale, why has the Supreme Court given any a particular deadline of 2025? Because ideally, it should be like the process should be started and should be completed as soon as possible. Will there be any constraint?
Process? No. There is no constraint. Actually, the possible the sale process has already started from February 2024. Which has been 3-4 months already now in the process. And what receiver has rightly indicated is that there, you know, Dystar is a complex company and there are multiple jurisdictions involved. And sell process will take somewhere from 9 months to 1 year and 4 months, right? And there are certain transactions, certain sales which the receiver has history of conducting as Deloitte, also within this time frame. So indicative time frame to sell the company is ranging from 9 months from the appointment of the receiver to 1 year and 4 months. 6 months more has been considered as a contingency, as a buffer time. Let us say if the sale process spill over on some regulatory approvals required by the buyer. So 6 months has been kept. With a sense that if something, you know, gets delayed, there is a cushion before court exercise. If you read the judgment, something called a nuclear option, okay? And that nuclear option can be exercised by the court post long stop date. So the reason it is called long stop date of December 2025 is after that, then Dystar is to be sold in the pieces, to be liquidated instead of selling the whole company as a going concern, and Kiri's dues needs to be paid. So there is a definitive timeline before which the company is to be sold and Kiri is to be paid. Post that, the company is to be liquidated if required and Kiri is to be paid. So that is why this long stop date with 6 months cushion has been decided by the court. But actual sale process we expect should get realized before that, much before that.
Yeah. So thanks for the detailed explanation. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address the questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Buram Seti Suresh from Buram Financials. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Kirish. How are you?
Good morning, Suresh. How are you?
Going on. Sir, actually, congratulations, sir, fixed the amount of Dystar amount. But, sir, you have increased the stake in Kiri before, after receiving the amount and before you started the accumulate the stake, increase the stake in Kiri, sir?
Well, the promoters have been in the process of, you know, arranging, securing funds and also utilizing their assets to secure funds. So as soon as that process is completed, promoters, as I mentioned, are very, very keen to increase the stake. as early as possible.
The money, and
it is not related to any events or anything like that. It all depends on how we are able to gather funds and utilize for increase.
Okay, another question. Actually, sir, you already some amount is received. Some market capitalization is around 2,000 crores. But you have received 5,000 crores amount at least. Generally, if not interested to any mutual funds or any other buyers, not interested, you have contact any other funds, and what is the reason, sir?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of inquiries or meetings takes place with various funds, and we continuously address them. I may not be able to give you the reason why market is viewing something different than what you have your views, but I can say that the litigation has been going on for almost 10 years, and funds have been delaying to receive by the company for many years. And court process, as we all have seen, have a lot of uncertainty sometimes. So I think keeping that in view, the market participants might be waiting, again, this is my assumption, to get the funds actually realized and to see that whether the money comes to Kiri's account or not. So that could be one of the reasons, if I can think, the way the questions that you are asking. So that could be the way that wait till what comes, and then they may take the decision. But from our side, we continuously engage ourselves with the prospective investors, and we continue that process to address them, answer them, and update them about the company. We are doing that job from our side on a regular basis.
At this time, actually, you can confirm the final amount and take time also decided to Singapore court is December 25. But already have stake from foreigners is around 40%+. But that foreigners are not interested to increase the stake, and
I cannot speak on their behalf. It is their decision, is investors' decision, is the persons like you who invest in the company, their decision. What they do, why they do, what next they do, it's up to them. Only thing we can do is we can produce the facts, we can showcase what we are doing, and we present ourselves, and it's up to the market then to decide. We have limited visibility on the investor side.
Actually, so many years is a long battle, sir. But investors also waiting for some 10 years. Subsidiary is proposed hydrogen subsidiary is there. You can receive the amount, you can plan with green hydrogen project, and Kiri development is going on, and green hydrogen project is taken, sir. Is a large question.
There are several options. There are several exciting projects, and each project is better than others, not into dyes and intermediate industries that we have been working on. And we will try to embark on the projects that can earn more than 25 to 30% even IRR for the shareholders of the company. And we will strive to invest into those projects, greenfield projects, the projects which relates to the growth of India, the project that goes relates to the replacement of imports in India on our Atmanirbhar policies. So we would align ourselves with the growth of the country in all these exciting sectors once the funds are available. So, but we are working on it, preparing our groundwork, preparing our homework, and at appropriate time we will announce the projects we are entering into. The nearer we come to the visibility of the funds, the better we would have the position to update you on these projects. But yes, there are very good projects that the company is working on right now.
You can create the wealth for investors. You can do a good one.
I request you to come back for a follow-up question. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Nayak from Hexagon Assets. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, sir. Congratulations on the verdict. My first question is a bookkeeping question. Good morning, sir. My first question is a bookkeeping question, sir. If you could share the cash balance at Dystar, do you have that number available?
As on year end, which was the March as a December end for Dystar financial year, it was around 508 million. And by end of March, I don't have balance sheet item, but looking at the profitability and the cash generation, I would say the cash in the company would be at least 530 million, maybe more than that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And my second question is with regard to the appeal process. I fully believe that Chanda would like to appeal this and try to go for a reserve price or, a pro rata sharing of the sale proceeds. So when are they likely to start that process and what would be the expected timeline according to you?
The to file an appeal is 30 days from the date of the order. So from 20th of May, it would be around 20th of June that the appeal needs to be filed. So 30 days time is what is the statutory time to file an appeal. And it would take at least another 9 months time. So let us say by March 2025, we should have, based on our prior experience, it takes around 7 months to a year time. If I take average of 9 months, then you are looking at March 2025, where the appeal should be completed. But the sale process is not going to stop. There is no stay on discontinuing a sale process, awaiting the outcome of the appeal. So that is not the case. So it is not going to affect the timelines and the sale process that has been decided by the court.
Understood. And also, do you also plan to appeal for the...
I request you to come back for a follow-up question.
It's just a follow-up question. It's an interest appeal question.
Yeah, I will. We have a legal advice to strongly file an appeal for the interest part, which we haven't got. So interest part is an important part and we have a very strong reasoning. Our belief is strong. So we will file appeal for the interest.
Understood. Thank you, sir. Thank you. All the best to you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kevin from Capro Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my call. Are my voice is audible? Hello?
Yes, you are audible. Please, okay. Go ahead.
Basically, I just wanted to understand how much valuation do you assess for the Dystar since if we see in 2024, since last 10 years, the sales has not increased, the profitability is almost the same. So we can talk about cycles, right? But how much valuation do you assess that Dystar will get a minimum of that valuation? And my second question was, are you seeing any potential buyers right now? So are you seeing any inquiries for the purchase of the Dystar stake in the NBlock sale? So yeah, these were my two questions.
Yes, so to answer the first question, if you look at the cash-free, debt-free basis, and if you look at the consistency of EBITDA of Dystar based on the past established performance, is around 150 million, right? So depending on how the buyers recognizes, the valuation may vary from 7 times a beta, 6 times a beta to even 8-10 times a beta, right? So it would be in that range considering the baseline a beta of 150. That is what I would look at it, correct? Now depending on the kinds of buyers who jump in, it would change in that range. But it doesn't matter for Kiri. For Kiri, whether the Dystar is sold at a higher price or a lower price, Kiri is going to get what is the crystallized amount given by the court. Of course, the objective is to sell at a higher price, and the receiver's attempt would also be to sell at a maximum possible price, and that would be the range which I mentioned to you. Answer to your second question, based on my information, there are multiple buyers looking at Dystar and interested in Dystar. Some are strategic buyers, and there are many funds also. Some of the large funds, what I've learned, are also looking at the buying Dystar. So there is enough interest in the market, and there are many prospective buyers at the moment who are interested to bid for the company.
Okay. Sir, just one last question, if I could possibly squeeze in.
I request you to come back for a follow-up.
Just one. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashit Kothai, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and congratulations.
Good morning, Ashit. Thank you.
My question is... While this is getting delayed, our activities in domestic is practically very, very standstill kind of thing. And current year, what you have said is 27% increase. So out of that, how much it is trading and how much is manufacturing, and what is our current utilization, capacitization in manufacturing?
Sure. See, the trading part is very small. So almost all of the sales is the manufacturing sales. And capacity utilization still remain on lower side. I give you the exact number. The capacity utilization on intermediate side is 36%. Dice side is less than 20% because we have large capacities. And basic chemicals is about 60%. And overall average, if you look at all facilities together, out of 68,725,000 tons, we have produced 34,388 tons, so which is about 50% of the production capacity.
Sir, have you given a thought as to if we are not getting the amount what we are expected to, then we take control of Launch and Kiri?
Well, I think Longshan Kiri is a separate. Today also, Longshan Kiri is managed and operated by Kiri as per the shareholders' agreement as a management control. It is still with Kiri. But both the entities are separate legal entities. So the litigation at Dystar and the court orders at Dystar, exit of Kiri from Dystar, has nothing to do with Longshan Kiri at all. That's even though both the shareholders are same, it's a separate legal entity, and if there is any separation takes place at Longshan Kiri, it would be a bilateral negotiation between both the shareholders at an appropriate time. So both are actually disconnected. It's not related to each other.
I understand, sir, but it's all this legal stuff takes away so much of energy of the management. I mean, say,
yes,
we just talk about it. You all experience it.
Yes.
So, if Launch and Kiri would have been added into your, part of your overall dealing and case, then again another chapter doesn't get opened up.
I fully agree with you, and with that in mind, you know, we had several times proposed to our partner to have an amicable settlement with Launch and Kiri, and also expressed Kiri's interest being a local partner, you know, to acquire them at a fair value. But somehow there is no step forward from their side. So we hope that sense prevail after so many years of litigation, and we hope that the partner post Dystar try to work out amicably, and we don't have to go through a legal route for the separation. I hope so. Again, you know, looking at the kind of a difficult nature of the Chinese partner, I don't have much hope. But let's see how things unfold going forward.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Bhura from Adinath Financial Service Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Manoj ji.
Good morning, Manoj ji, please.
I have two, three questions. First question is regarding Lonson Kiri. Lonson Kiri is earning huge profits. Its profitability is very good. Almost 30% it is earning operating profit. And around 15% is net profit. And is it in the same line of business as Kiri or different?
The product lines are different and the product categories are different. Certain dye chemistry is different, which are more on a specialty dyes. So, for example, we do fluorochemistry in Lonson Kiri, which is a high value product ranges. We also do indigo at Lonson Kiri, and these two account for more than 60% of the sales of Lonson Kiri in terms of value. So there are different products, highly specialized products, and that is where you see the margins are coming.
Yeah, margins are fantastic there. I had seen the balance sheet for the last 3-4 years. It has earned bumper profits, even in these times when chemical is not doing well.
Yeah, because, yeah, just to give you an example, that's the only indigo manufacturing facility in the country.
Okay.
No other indigo production. So that gives some kind of a
monopoly.
Upper hand. I wouldn't say monopoly, but some kind of benefits, you know, being a lone producer in the country.
So second question is regarding the process to be adopted by Deloitte for any in-block sale of the shares. What is the process and how it will be reported to you or exchange or the court? What is the process? What is the timeline?
I think the Deloitte is regularly updating both the shareholders. They have regular interactions and more frequent interactions with both the shareholders, in addition to continuous interactions with Dystar.
What will be their process? Is it the auction route or they will be inviting expression of interest first?
I think, yeah, there are three steps broadly, which is in any normal sale process. First is the preparation for the company, which includes, for example, information memorandum, data room preparation, right, for the for vendor due diligences. So all these preparations to sell the company, that's the first phase, which is going on right now. Second is to invite bids, LOIs, on a bilateral basis, correct? And then to negotiate with, and then to go through the due diligence process with the prospective buyers. That will take another 3-4 months, and that process should commence from July, August. That's the second step. And the third step is to sign the sell purchase agreement, have any, you know, once the buyer is identified, the price is negotiated, and then the third step would be to execute the SPA and the regulatory approvals and get the money and close the deal. So these are the three steps process. It will take somewhere, based on the indication given, minimum 9 months to around 1 year, 4 months, with 6 months cushion. So practically it is between 9 months to 1 year, 4 months from the appointment of the receiver, and that 1 year, 4 months would be around June, July 2025.
Yeah, because the appointment was made in the month of February.
Yes.
It means by June 25, we can expect the sale to be completed.
Correct. Practically, yes. Correct. Okay. And there is a six-month buffer.
It can be earlier also?
It can be earlier also. It depends on the buyers, and it could be earlier also. It depends on how fast the buyers are completing the due diligences and giving the binding offers. So,
as you stated, there are multiple buyers. Then there should be no problem in selling the...
Interrupt you, sir. I request
no problem.
For follow-up question.
Absolutely no problem in selling the company. I personally believe no problem in selling the company. Zero problem.
Thank you, Manish.
And there is no reserve price. So please, you know, understand that. There is no reserve price.
Right.
Whoever is the highest bidder is going to get the company.
Yeah. Thank you, Manoj. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address the questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. I repeat, please limit your questions to two per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding the litigation of Basta. So what, to my understanding, we are looking for a for buyers for the Dystar. In case we don't find any buyer, the company will be liquidated, right?
Yes, correct. So the receiver is right now in the process of executing the sale process. And yes, so if, let us say, in a worst case scenario, till December 2025, the company is not sold by any kind of reason, then it needs to be liquidated as per the court's directions. But I don't think that is going to happen, because there is enough interest, practically speaking. The buyers are preparing to bid, and there are multiple options. Some strategic buyers are interested, some financial buyers are also interested. So I don't see, personally, looking at the situation, such day is going to come. The company is going to get sold.
Yeah, it would be a worst-case scenario. So what would be the liquidation value right now for Dystar?
It won't be possible for me to answer that, the liquidation value. If you look at the cash in Dystar, which is more than $500 million, right? So any buyer would give more than the cash of the company as an equity value, correct?
Yeah.
So then there is no question of liquidation. There is actually practically no question of liquidation. See, it's a solvent company, it's a profit-making company, it's a lot of cash in the company and zero debt in the company. And there is no reserve price. The company is to be sold at any highest price. There is no reserve price. If somebody is paying 600, somebody is paying 500 equivalent to cash, if somebody is paying 1 billion, 2 billion, whatever, you know, the company is going to get sold.
Yeah, and irrespective of the price, we would be getting...
I request you to come back for a follow-up question.
Yeah, I was asking the same question, like I'm following up that question only.
Yes.
Yeah, so irrespective of the buying price, we will be getting 603 million or more.
Yes. Yes, we will get 603 million. That's it. 603.8 million, that's what we are going to get. So if the company is being sold at 700 million, or it is being sold at 2 billion, whatever is the balance amount will go to Senda. Kiri will get only 603.8 million, irrespective of what price Dystar is sold. Our number is decided number. It's a crystallized number.
Yeah, okay. I'll get back into the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Khanna from CapGrow Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Gaurav.
Yeah. So this is Arun Malhotra. Just wanted to check, you mentioned cash on the books. Can you also throw some light on the revenues? Because when I saw at the website, the revenues have been stagnant for last more than 5 years. What's the reason for stagnation in revenues for Dystar 1? And what's the average EBITDA for last 5 years?
Well, for the last 5 years, as you have rightly said, the company's revenue has been ranging from 850 million to 1 billion, 1.1 billion. And not only last 5 years, before we acquired Dystar in 2010, 2000, if I remember correctly, 2008 revenue was also $1 billion, correct? So in the last 15 years, the company's revenue has not been you know, grown or increased much, but it has remained range bound, right? Now, there are several reasons for that. And if you look at the last 5 years of beta, to answer your question, last 5 years of beta is about 15% at Dystar level, right? So what Dystar has gained from is the restructuring, which was done post-acquisition by Kiri and Longsheng, and that has turned the company into a good profitable path. But company has not grown itself into new product lines. Even though it has cash, it could not acquire new companies to grow, right? It couldn't set up new line of business. And I think the dyes market and the higher end of dyes market where Dystar is catering is also limited. So even not only Dystar, if you look at the Arkroma, if you look at the Huntsman, their revenue for last 10 years also stagnant. They've also not grown, right? So in general, the where the Dystar or the Huntsman or the Clariant or Arkroma, the categories in which they are serving, that remains stagnant unless you grow in some other areas along with that. And probably second factor could be, you know, the shareholders dispute for going on for 10 years. So the new buyer who acquired Dystar can give a new direction, can change its course of business. And as you know, the shareholder dispute sometimes would affect the future plans, especially future capex and things like that.
Sure. And second part of this, can you also let us know, has there been any impact on the business post this appointment of a receiver? Have there has been pushback from the customers, part one? And second is, could you also throw some lights on similar deals that have happened in the past 2-3 years in the dyes or in the chemical segment, what valuations they have happened, similar size companies?
So to answer your first question, there is no disturbance in operations at all. Okay? We don't see any impact on the day-to-day operations of Dystar. And we also don't see any impact. At least we are, we are knowing of, or we have been informed about, on the customers running away from Dystar. Haven't seen that. Nothing like that. You know, it has been normal as it was before. So that's about the operations of Dystar. Now, if you look at the last year's acquisition of Huntsman by SK Capital, if I remember correctly, the EBITDA was the acquisition EBITDA was multiple was 7.8 times. So let us say around 8 times on enterprise value.
Sure. Yep. Got it. I think. And lastly, there is so much immense value. Any plans of the buyback? Because you could actually take debt and buyback for the Kiri shareholders and not participate and increase your stake indirectly. Any thoughts on that?
The active thoughts on that. So once the fund comes and market is not recognizing value, and that is the option. Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you. Serious thought on it. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devanshu from Chatri & Company. Please go ahead.
Morning and thank you for the opportunity. Can you just please elaborate a bit more on the en bloc sale process? So are there any rules surrounding it as per Singapore law? For example, you know, there may be many covenants in the proposed transaction document that may not be agreeable to the management or shareholders. So who has the final say there? Because I'm asking in respect of, like, you know, the management or the other shareholders may try to stall the process. So in terms of bidding, I understand that the highest bidder will be catered to. But what about the other covenants in the proposed transaction document? Who has the final say there?
I think based on the court process and the way the whole process is going to take place, it is the receiver. Receiver is essentially the officer of the court. And receiver is selling the company on a as-is basis, right? and receiver has a right on the shares of both the shareholders, shares of DISA. Right? So here, when the company is sold by the court, there are no riders. There are no approvals required by the, you know, by the shareholders. Shareholders can, you know, can help the receiver, but shareholders cannot have any conditions or don't have any rights to put any conditions for the sale of the company. So essentially, it is the receiver's call, and receiver as a trustee of the shares as on today can also execute a sale purchase agreement. It is, they have immense power of the court. They are the officer of the court.
I understand. But
right. So there is nothing.
Proposed buyer. For instance, they may ask for indemnity from the existing management of the company, the shareholders. Is that something that they can ask for, and then the management will say that this is not possible?
I don't think that they can ask for the indemnity or anything. Neither the indemnity in the court-driven process is given. Correct.
Okay.
And as I said, the company is being sold on the as-is-where-is basis. This is what it is. This
right.
is what the company is. There is no reserve price. See what value you want to pay, and you pay it. And it's a simple share purchase agreement to transfer shares. They're as simple as that. There is no,
thank you,
there is no indemnity from anywhere. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dilip Dev Prakash, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Dilip.
Manish, see, last time in the conference call, you had told that regarding the immediate relief payout, both he as well as Cinda had no issues with regards to 100 million being paid out to Kiri. Then why is it that didn't materialize? Why could the legal team not convince the court about the need for the immediate relief, considering that 10 years have passed?
I think, yes, I think if you read the judgment, the grounds of decision, even though Kiri proposes and Kiri argued for it, I think the court's opinion was by extracting that 100 million, you are in some way impacting the value of DISTAR, or you are setting an example of extracting the value of DISTAR by giving 100 million to Kiri. Right? So even though there has been a strong arguments from our side, on that point, court was not with us. And court said that to maximize DISTAR's value, they don't want to do a buyback from DISTAR, because then Kiri shares would be, instead of Senda or a new buyer, would be bought by DISTAR as per Kiri's proposal. And we were agreed for other options also, but somehow court was not with us. And court was also not with us on the interest. We were very hopeful that at least we would be getting interest, but on these two points, court was not with us. And on priority payment to Kiri, court was with us. So paying Kiri its full buyout value, in which court accepted our arguments, and other two, they haven't.
Oh, and Senta goes in for an appeal, and as you said, it might take 6 or 7 months from our experience for the final judgment to come out. And in the worst case scenario, if appeal goes in their favor and the reserve price is then attached, so how things will pan out?
The way this will unfold is, even though the appeal is an enforcement order appeal, and no doubt the Supreme Court will look at that, and if something goes in that favor, you know, theoretically it can happen, practically also, if Supreme Court decides to change something in this court, then post that decision, receiver needs to implement it.
Okay. Fine.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashit Kothai, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, one simple question. I mean, say, again, assuming that it's going to take another 2 years, now what all projects you have lined up for diversification? There is no information available to the investors. And also with regards to if our existing activity is not giving results, within this itself, can't there be any change of products and processes and move towards higher profitable products and processes?
Yeah, your second question first. Yes. The existing business dies in intermediates. As you have seen, we have a lot of capacities which we are not able to utilize. And you have very rightly addressed, in last quarter we could add few products. Similarly, we could change products within the category of intermediates and dyes, and also some related chemistry. And that could be our efforts to even at 1,000, 1,500 level, we come back to the decent profitability by changing our product mix. Definitely that is possible. We are trying to endeavor to do it, and that would be our focus. But I don't think it will require more capex for it. A little bit of investment, few vessels here, you know, there, it's fine. But it would not require any significant capex to improve the existing business. It would more of our own ability to change within the existing investment that we have in these plants. Right? So that's your second question. And we would definitely strive to do that, and we must do it. We have reduced our power costs. We have improved efficiencies. We have shut down certain buildings completely. We can restart those buildings with new products, and we are continuously exploring what new products we can make in those facilities, on those buildings. So we are working on it right now. Number two, the projects are what we have looked at and are looking at, which includes the futuristic projects also, which relates to the renewable energy, it relates to green hydrogen, it relates to the electric vehicles related, you know. So there are a host of things we are looking at. We are also looking at petrochemical derivatives. So there are vast, but we have not crystallized yet, and it would be premature to crystallize because market is also dynamic. So if we are expecting money 1 year, 1.5 year from now, during this process, may new players will come, may supply demand would shift. So we continuously explore and revisit our projects to see, you know, what makes best sense when the time comes. And we'll definitely announce, be rest assured, and we will announce well in advance before we execute the projects.
Basically, my first question was purely from the point of view that enough of bandwidth has been utilized by the case. It is more than a high time kind of, you know, focus on our activity and let that process of court case and the money, if it has to come in by whatever time it will come, whatever, however hard we try, we may not be able to kind of change the course. So if we can change the course on our present...
Yes. So we decide on new projects when the time comes, exactly. And we try to see how we can improve our own EBITDA currently based on the current operations that we are in. So
I mean, sir, we come to a conclusion or we come to a point where we don't need to take into consideration Dysar figure because that money is not in our hand. It's not going to come in. This profit of after the order or after 2018. That money is not part of us. So, if we have more cash flows, you know, our hands would be more strengthened.
Right. I totally agree with you. Unfortunately, there are, you know, double-edged sword we have been going through for the last few years. One is our heavy litigation expenses, and second is the non-supportive market. Right? So that's why our internal improvements, change of products, improving our efficiencies, you know, reducing costs, all those factors have gone in when you have seen that we have, for the last quarter, have at least on consolidated basis 33% positive EBITDA. And if you take out the legal cost, by the way, in the last quarter, we are EBITDA neutral. Okay, so at least the cash has stopped now eroding. So we would then try to see how we can increase further by changing product mix, exactly.
Thank you, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
And we hope we become cash positive in no time, at least for a consistent period.
Yes, should be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take these as the last questions. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much, all of you, for participating in today's conference call. We'll see you next quarter. All the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Kiri Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.